This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Mosaic Life Podcast. My name is Trey Kaufman. The mission of this podcast is to explore happiness and what it means to us as individuals and as humans, and why so many of us chase it, and yet we never find it. If you find value in this particular episode or any episode that has come before it, you can support this podcast by making a one-time or a recurring donation, or even by leaving a podcast review on Apple Podcasts. To make a donation, click the Support the Mosaic Life Podcast link in the show notes or at themosaiclifepodcast.com. And I just got some brand new t-shirts in. It's a brand new design with the Do Better Challenge printed on them. And if you'd like to see them, you can check out my Instagram at Trey Kaufman. And these shirts will be going on sale soon. But for a limited time, if you make a $10 donation, I will send you one. Again, you can do that by clicking the Support the Mosaic Life Podcast link in the show notes. My guest today is Nathaniel Zubrick. From the incurable chronic illness and medical prognosis, he shouldn't be able to walk, talk, amount to anything, and be dead six times by now, to an entrepreneur, award-winning global inspirational speaker, and victorious mindset mentor. Nathaniel Zubrick is the founder and CEO of the for-profit business Unlimit You and soon-to-be nonprofit organization Live Life to the Fullest. You know, every time I get to have one of these conversations, I feel so incredibly lucky. I cherish the opportunity to gain a new and unique mindset speaking with someone who not only lives in a country and culture I've never experienced, but one who has gone through such traumatic life events, events that I can't even fathom, and not only lived to tell the tale, but decided to make it his life's purpose to help other people discover and live their purpose through his story. I am so excited to welcome to the podcast my new friend, Nathaniel Zubrick. Fantastic. Well, how's everything going? You're in Switzerland now, right?
Yeah, we are having a lot of snow now. So I'm living below, really, like, you know, not in the mountains. So it's like we have a couple of times of snow during the winter.
Yeah.
But the last few days, it's like snowing crazy. So, we have like about 10, 20 centimeters, which is maybe that much at the moment.
That's awesome. Do you enjoy the snow? Do you get out? Do you ski?
Well, I do. I grew up in the mountains, so I like the winter to be white.
Yeah.
So I'm used to it, yeah. But I prefer more summer, palms and beach and the yacht. And
yeah, I get that. I grew up loving snow myself, and then I think once I had to start driving in it, that's when I kind of didn't love it quite as much. And now, thankfully, I get to work from home, which is fantastic. So I do enjoy it, but we don't get nearly as much as we used to.
Yeah, that's true. Are you living where again?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio. Obviously, the United States. We definitely have all four seasons. It's just the like I said, it doesn't get as cold or as snowy as it used to. It probably doesn't speak very good for our climate, but we'll get a couple good snowstorms per year, but that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it like you guys have mountains as well, or is it more like flat?
No, I wish we had mountains. We have hills. We have what they call ski resorts, but it only takes, you know, maybe 30 seconds to a minute to get down the hill if you're going fast.
Okay. Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah. So how's your 2021 starting for you?
Better than 2020, I think.
Yeah, that's sure. Good. That's good. I know 2020 was rough for everybody involved. I mean, it was a different experience for everybody. I mean, if you were fortunate enough to not come down with any illness, you know, I think that was a win. But obviously, we had to fight through a lot. So I'm curious what that looked like on your end.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, for me, it's like, I think I just expected to be a better time. And for me, a new season is in front of the door of focusing more on emotional, healthy stuff. And so I'm going to move in a couple of weeks or in 3 weeks to start a resilience training. So for me, this year, it's all about, you know, slowing down a little bit, cleaning up past stuff.
Yeah.
And that I'm expecting to get up like a rocket next year, maybe, or even still this year. I don't know what's going to happen. But I realized that I have to, yeah, you know, and I realized I come to a point when I was frustrated all the time. I was angry at little things. And so I realized something had to change within me. And so that's what I'm going to do. And on the other side, business-wise, I'm focusing more on being more productive in doing things at the right time.
Yeah.
At the right point. That's instead of doing everything.
Yeah. I really, really respect everything you just said. I over the last year, I myself have tried to do a couple things to go back and clean up the messes that I had made. You know, when I had tried to do things the simple way, or the shortcut way, I guess you would call it, just to get it done instead of doing it the right way, so I'm set up for success in the future. So when you say that you're going back and cleaning up your past stuff, what does that look like for you?
Great question. I think for me, it's more all about going even deeper than to realize who I am in all that I went through. You know, when you go through a chronic illness of 32 years, there's a lot of stuff involved, like the way people treat you in a different way, the way you receive things in a different way, even way worse when you have a kind of a hearing impairment like me. So you understand a few things differently.
Yeah.
When you're a child, when you're a teenage, when you're adult. As well, I want to be honest here as well, because I was not just me, my brothers as well. We were growing up in a really emotional deficit home, because my parents never learned it. Not to blame them, because they never learned it, but that's just the thing that happened. And so I just realize now in my 30s that I have no idea about how to deal with emotions.
Yeah.
You know, and so there are a lot of things that in terms of emotional health that I want to clean up. And I think the other thing was, like, I grew up in a way that always said, okay, let's, you know, I was always keeping going on.
Yeah.
And that works really well until you don't have any strength.
Yeah.
So at some point you realize, okay, it's not going to work anymore as it used to work in the past. So you have to change something. And I'm assured that once I clean up, even though, you know, I just got encouraged by you what you say, like in the beginning, people just want to work with me. And I believe the same, because once you clean up the stuff,
absolutely,
you have a bigger attraction to the people. And for me, it's really important as a leader, entrepreneur, friend, whatever, to work with people that I can help them with my personality or with who I am, yeah, not necessarily with what I do, right, or what I used to do. And of course, that shapes us, but you know, it comes from the inside out, not from, you know, I have done some, I'm not defined by what I have reached. It shapes me, yeah, but I'm not defined by that. My personality is different than what I have reached and what I will reach in the, or the achievement or all that stuff. So this is something that I'm, looking forward to.
That's fantastic. I love hearing that. And I think in the point that is great to drive home in that statement, in that message, is that it's not too late. I mean, we do things that I think, I don't think anybody is innocent of this. We do things that bring us shame in life. And I have had many conversations in which there are many things I've done in my life that bring me shame even to this day. And I think it's important to distinguish between shame and regret, but we can, you know, we can distinguish between those two later. But when you think about the things that are shameful in your past, it's never too late to, I guess, rectify that, or, you know, even come to terms with it mentally. And I think when it comes to emotional development and coming to terms with your past, a lot of that is just removing the judgment. And once you can remove the judgment and you can observe the things that you may not have done the way you would have liked, you can start to move past it. And if that includes cutting people out or cutting certain habits out of your life, then you can do so from there. Is that the experience you've kind of seen, or is that the exercise you've taken when it comes to cleaning up your stuff, or is there a different kind of mentality or kind of way that you do that?
Yeah, I would say kind of, yes. I think for me, I was never a person that looked into the past.
Yeah,
I always could, you know, switch it away and continue in the future. And I think that's really important. Like we never will be able to change the past.
Right.
Neither would I want to change anything that happened within the past.
Right.
Because every small thing, every mistake, every difficulties, every whatsoever circumstance is has taken us there where we are,
yes,
today.
Yes.
And that's important. That's unique. I mean, you know, people often ask me what would you change, or who would you be in your, if you could choose? And I always say, look, I would never want to change my life with somebody else, because I had a, of course, there was a difficult journey, as we all have, but at the same time, there was so much to learn,
yeah,
and it has brought me to where I am today. And I think that's very important to acknowledge, to not making regrets about the past. We can't change the past, but we can take now the responsibility to change the future.
Yes.
And we will always mess up, even we make the choice right now to take responsibility about the future. And I think that's the tension in living in the now, to you know, reflecting from yesterday and doing, making it better than yesterday,
yeah,
today, and looking what I can improve tomorrow. And so, or even improving today, it's even better to do so. I think that's my what I experienced most.
That's fantastic. That's great. And I, the first thing that comes to me is when you distinguish between past, present, and future, you do have to look at them differently. You have to be able to look in retrospect at the past and, again, kind of remove judgment, whether, you know, it's good or bad. You have to be able to accept what is happening in the present and be willing to, I guess, call an audible, make a shift, make an adjustment if you want to have the foresight to get to where you want to be in the future. I think a lot of people tend to maybe accept the past for what it is, which is, you know, maybe a good thing. But when it comes to the future, also accept that whatever happens to them is preordained. It's going to happen no matter what. Why do I need to do work now if it's not going to make a difference in the future? And I think one of the missions of this particular podcast is to get people to realize that they have every control over where their lives are going, what they can do, what they can accomplish, but they need to do the hard work now so that they can affect, positively affect their future outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important to realize that for me, so maybe up to 2020,
yeah,
I was always looking full into the future. You know, I was looking the future. Oh, I'm going to do this and that and this. And so at some point, it was frustrating me because I always saw myself already there, but the reality looked different. So then last year, I was frustrated about a little bit going into the past because all the, you know, the inside stuff come up, what happened in the future. And I was starting to blame certain people for certain things. And so I was doing the opposite of what I did in 2019. And so that didn't help as well. So what I learned in this year is to really, you know, focus on the now.
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah.
Of course, still knowing what you want to do, be or have in the future, still dreaming big, still visionizing big, but at the same time, laying that aside a little bit and focusing on the now to realize that the important time, the most important time is right now, because that's where I can do something or change something.
Yeah.
And so I have now started to you know, to write down my task every day with the productivity planner that I have. And it's really helpful because I realized that I can choose between 1 to 3 tasks a day that will take me closer to where I want to go.
Yes.
Or be or have. But at the same time, I leave room to enjoy the things or, you know, enjoy the people around me, to do something different that takes me away from my everyday routine, exercising, whatever. And that, I think, the most important time is now, because we get so much value out of it. And we can only live in the future with our talks.
Yeah.
Which is good in some state, but physically, work on something, it's just right now. It doesn't work in the future.
Yeah,
and I think this is something as I hear from many entrepreneurs, that this is something we all are struggling to. You know, we see ourselves, we have no difficulties to dream big, and we want to be this and that, and and all that, and but yet at the same time, really focusing on the now is so encouraging, because it gives me a little bit of relief and peace to know that I have the time to go there.
Yeah,
because I do every day something important, step by step.
That's fantastic. I love that. It's I think there's a lot of comfort in knowing that, you know, good or bad, your past is behind you, and knowing that the time that you have now is the only resource that is non-renewable. And so if you can realize that, and you can take the mentality that you just mentioned there, that you can find not just the success that you're looking for, but also the solace in knowing that you are doing your absolute best in this very moment. And those successes, that hard work, it compounds upon itself, and, you know, it leads to those future gains, those future wins. I love that. Now you, I know you have, I know it's not a secret. I know we've talked a little bit about this previously. I mean, you've been through a lot, especially when it comes to your health and your mental wellness, to get to you to a point to where you are today, where you can help people unlimit their lives, as you say. And so I would invite you, if you don't mind sharing, you know, what got you to where you are today? You know, what did you have to go through to get here?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, my story is quite incredible, and I'm not going to go into detail, but I just want to share with you a few things that I think that shaped me in a way bigger sense than I ever could imagine. And so firstly, I was 1 year old when I lost my own kidneys. And so that meant I had to live with, I was diagnosed with a chronic illness, incurable chronic illness that affected my kidneys. My kidneys had to be, you know, taken out. I had to go to dialysis every night at that time in order to survive. And the first time ever that I was battling with my life between life and death was actually with 3 years old, when I was falling into a coma for about 2 weeks. After those 2 weeks, there was no brain function whatsoever. So that's the reason why my doctors called my parents to come into the ICU to terminate my life. And I was lying there in a coma. My parents come to farewell my life. And the reality was that there was no function. There was no surviving change. There was no ongoing reason to continue keep me on the life support machine that I was on the last 2 weeks. So the doctors turned off the life support machines. By the time they did that, I started to talk again. And all of a sudden, I was back to life, I would say. Literally back to life, because I was talking again. I was looking at my mom, as I remember in with the picture that I have in my mind today. Yet it took me quite a long time to go back. I felt in the coma again, come back and on right. For about a couple few weeks. So I my body slowly got better and better. I had no brain damage whatsoever. I was back fully to life. I still had to go to my treatment. And so it was just, you know, the biggest miracle that I and my parents and my family ever realized and experienced. And it took me still teach me so much today to value the time that I have today and to live life to the fullest every day, because I experienced that anytime it can be finished.
Yes.
And anytime it can, you know, the as soon as we go out of the bed, there's a certain risk, not just COVID.
Right.
Everything can be risky today. And any time it can be finished. And that it helped me to, and I hope you're encouraged as well, even though you never had a near-death experience, but I hope it encourages your listeners to value every minute, every hour you have today, and make the most out of your life. Not in a striving way, not in a way that, you know, is thinking like crazy, oh, tomorrow I'm going to die. Ooh, I need to finish this and that, yeah, and being busy and all that.
Yeah.
No, but more an attitude toward life, to enjoy the time, to make happen what is possible.
Yeah.
To be grateful for, if you still breathing the next morning, great. You can do it again and again.
Yes.
But don't take it for granted, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so this was one thing. The second thing, I had a really big turning point was when I lost my third kidney transplant with 13 years old. So I had with 5 years old, with 8 years old, I had a kidney transplant that didn't work for long. The third kidney transplant went for about 13 months. And when I lost that kidney again, or actually doing the kidney transplant of those 13 months, I realized that, well, I have everything that I needed or that I want as a kid. I held the kidney, my health is well, I don't have to go to the treatment, I'm not connected to any things that I don't want to do,
right,
and I have everything. Yet at the same time, I realized I don't have everything that I need. And so that was a turning point to realize for me that life is way more about what we want or what we see. I'm always encouraged that that life can bring more than we ever can dream of, and it can exceed all the expectations we have. And so at that turning point, I realized that maybe those things that I would like are not necessarily the ones that I need.
Yeah.
And this was the time I started to develop an attitude toward focusing on the long-term, what's the best word to describe that? Long-term fulfillment instead of the short-term satisfaction.
Yes.
I still want the kidney. I'm still waiting for another one today. That's clear. But at the same time, I realized that there's more to it than I ever want in my life. And I really want to inspire you today to write down or voice record it or print out picture and ask yourself, hey, what are the things that I want? And what are the things that I really need in my life?
Yeah.
It can be maybe 1 year ahead, 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead. And I promise you will be surprised that most of the things that you want or that you have written down as a one are not the same thing as things you need.
Yeah.
And this is so important. That's what I feel like, because it's the point for me was to learn about the long-term satisfaction.
Yeah.
Because the short-term satisfaction is always there. We can do anytime, anywhere. We can do anything that satisfies us right now. But that doesn't mean that this is the long-term, satisfaction that we probably need or in order to help other people, that for what we are here for.
Yeah, I agree. I could not state that any better. One thing I have gotten the habit of asking myself is, and kind of running this exercise by other people as well, to ask yourself two questions. do you want what you have? And do you have what you want? And it's that first question that I really challenge people to think critically of. Do you want what you have? And if the answer, if you think about it, if the answer is no, then you need to reevaluate the things you are adding to your life, the things that you're contributing, and really think about, like you said, you know, the things that you want down the line 5, 10 years. So often, I think we get on this hedonic treadmill where we say, we'll be happy when we have a new car or a new job. And then when we finally get those things, we set our sights out even further. But those are material things. Those are objects that they may provide a bit of joy in the short term, but they don't have long-term implications on our happiness. And when people can start to think critically about what contributes to their happiness and fulfillment, like you have, like you very much have in your own life, it's a lot easier to live each day to its fullest because you realize how fragile and important happiness and life are.
Mm.
Yeah. But you in the work that you're doing, you have four steps to unlimit your life. Do you want to talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. So the first step is all about getting back into your core identity to realize or to identify who you are. That's the first question that I ask people, to find out who am I? Because I think in today's world, it's so important to it's one thing, you know, it's very easy to go with the masses,
right,
with the crowd, to get lost in what other 100 people are doing. So for me, I was really blessed during the chronic illness that I spend a lot of time with myself. That's what you do. You know, you never find yourself really in this world connected to for a long time.
Yeah.
Because you're just, it's not a bad thing, it's just the way it is. You're different and everybody is different.
Right.
But I think as someone who had more difficulties than others, you automatically spend more time than with somebody else. But that doesn't mean you have to wait until you get into tribulation, circumstances, difficulties, and all that. No, I think it's very important to really take time. It can be daily, even if it's just for 5 minutes. You can, you know, get into yourself and realize, hey, who am I?
Yeah.
What are my strengths? What are my passions? And what are my values that I have in myself that I haven't developed yet, that maybe nobody has told me ever yet? Or maybe there are even certain things that somebody destroyed in you in the past. Maybe something that you were good at, but then somebody told you that that's not what you are, or that's not who you are. And because you didn't react in a way they expected you to be or to do. So that's the first step. The second step is all about asking the question, what am I here for? So here's all about the point of what I love in this world is that so many people are getting to realize that we have to get out of the system in order to live a fulfilled life.
Right.
The system is great for certain people. I'm still thinking about who those people really are. What is the connection to be into a system? Anyway, but I love that so many people today and more often getting out of the crowd and realize, hey, I want to bring to this world or to my friends, to my family, to my neighbors, what I can do best and who I am.
Yeah.
And that's so important because everybody's unique and I'm get so frustrated when people, you know, when people talk about systems and saying, we have to do that in this way because everybody else does it.
Right. Right.
And I'm like, no, I'm not agreeing here because I believe that everybody is created in the image of God. He has created us unique. Everybody, there are 8 billion people on this world. Everybody's unique. Everybody has a different unique DNA, unique constellation between the strengths, passion, and values.
Right.
It can be that some have the same, but the constellation will always be the different. So this is the second question. How or what am I here for? And how can I use who am I? So we're getting into the third question, which is all about creating a dream, creating a vision from the passion, values, and strengths that you have identified in the first two questions. And that's all about being creative. It's all about, you know, firstly dreaming, firstly about, you know, going over crazy things, things that might not be possible at the moment for you. But for me, it's very important that people can step into a boat of creativity, because creativity changes everything.
Yeah.
And the way we do things, and you know, like an artist paints a picture in a unique way, we too can paint a picture about our life.
Absolutely.
In a unique way.
Yeah.
So this is the third step. The fourth step is all about getting into mentoring, because I don't want to leave people just daydreaming. I want to help people to get into a consistently improvement, if that's even a word, improvement, I don't know, you know, improving every day consistently.
Absolutely. Yes.
to the dream they have created and the vision they want to live and see in their life. And so that's all about the first step to unlimit your life, to live your dream life, to get out everything what you know, what's in there already, to develop things that are not there yet, and to build up on things that are already there. And so step by step, I'm going to tell you that if you keep going, you're going to be there one day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to promise you how long it takes, but I know that you consistently, that you, when you never give up, that you will end there, as I have seen many times in my own life as well.
Absolutely. I want to go back and talk a little bit more about each of these. And I think getting started at the who am I is important, especially when it comes to when somebody has a certain expectation of who you are and they project that expectation on you, because maybe they knew you as you were growing up, as you were coming up as an adult or as a teenager, and then you see them again and they expect you to be the same way. They expect you to have not changed, to have not grown, perhaps because they didn't. And that's, I think that takes a lot of mental stamina to be able to get through that if you want to maintain that relationship. But when it comes to, you can call it rewriting your story, or you can call it removing somebody's projections of you on yourself. I mean, how do you go about making sure that you are getting out of the crowd, as you said it? How do you make sure that you are giving yourself every opportunity to not be told who you are by other people?
That's a really great question. As I said, I was really blessed that for me it almost happened automatically because of the chronic illness, being in the hospital a lot of time, not growing up in a school system, or most of the time I didn't go to school, but because I was being in the hospital. But for anybody that is not in a circumstance like that, I would say, I think it, the most important is to first make a decision today. Make a decision that you want to spend more time with yourself, and then make it a daily habit. So what I realized, it takes about 63 days to develop a new habit. So if you, for the next 63 days, which is a little bit more than 2 months, you set 5 minutes a day in the morning, evening, whatever works best for you. You set 5 minutes or whatever you want to start with, can be 10 minutes, 50 minutes, and you set the time for the next 36 days.
Yeah.
I promise you it's going to be automatically.
Yeah.
And then once you're there, once you realize, okay, I'm going to do it automatically in the morning, every morning, 5 minutes, spending time with myself, you can improve by that. Let's say you do every month or every week, maybe you do 1 minute more. So next week, 6 minutes. Next week, 7 minutes, and on. For me, it has become such a habit that I spend about probably 3 to 4 hours a day for myself.
That's great.
But I didn't start like that.
Right.
I started maybe with, I don't know what the beginning was, maybe 10, 15 minutes. But if you improve, as I said, consistency is so important in the growing process, that if you imagine you start with 5 minutes, and you increase it only 1 minute per month.
Yeah.
You will be by more than 1.5 hours, no, more than 2 hours in 5 years.
Yeah.
And so little steps every day are the most important, consistently living them out, because it makes us the long term. It gives us the long-term results, and the beginning is not that hard. 1 minute every month increasing, it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's reasonable, and it's achievable. And so try it out, whatever works best for you, and I'll promise you, you'll have an amazing future ahead of you.
That's fantastic. And so the next step, discovering what you're here for. I think that scares a lot of people, realizing that there's unlimited potential in what they can accomplish, but having the, I guess, struggling with choice. You know, there are things that they enjoy and they don't know what to pursue. There are things that they're good at, they don't necessarily enjoy. So how when it comes to honing in exactly what it is you're here for, I mean, if you can offer just a couple pieces of wisdom, how do you help somebody decide that?
Right. I think if you get into the first question, the second one will come automatically.
Yeah.
Because the funny thing is that when we start to withdraw from a crowd of a certain environment,
right,
then the more we know ourselves, the more we realize that we can use those things in order to get the answer of the, what am I here for?
Yeah.
And let me say that, you know, those two questions, it's never an ending process. It's not like you do 1 year, you get the question of who am I, the answer to, and then the rest of your life, you don't have to do that anymore. No, yeah. It's a continual process. But again, I would say that start first with a who am I, if you never have done that. And for the next few months, maybe the next 6 months. Should take time about that. And then you will get to know the what am I here for, Andrew. Yeah. So you will get the answer to that question as well. Yeah. Maybe not really clear in the beginning. Maybe not really maybe it can be super focused, super cloudy in the beginning. But for me, it was just like, you know, it was a process of 30 years, the four steps. And for me, and I know it doesn't have to take that long because I started late on being intentional about my personal growth. But I realized that those four questions, once you had the first one, you slowly get into the second one. It's like a season, the four seasons. You get the winter, and then you slowly get into the spring. But the spring day is never at one day exactly.
Right.
So you don't have all the snow melted away at one day.
Yeah.
And then at the same day, all the trees are blossoming. It's a transition, and it's a transformational transition. And so, like, the four questions are like the four seasons. And that's what I love about, because it gives us it takes a lot of pressure away from our personal growth.
Yeah.
So we don't say, okay, I have to do this and then doing that. It's like transitional. It flows. It's harmonic. It almost, and when I say automatically, it's kind of automatically in a sense that it flows, but still you have to do the work every day consistently.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. Doing the work today and tomorrow is so incredibly important to eventually start to see the results, to see the next season. I can't agree with you more on that. That's absolutely dead on, which will then take you into the third season of creating your dream. And there's a book that I read recently called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, and he talks about the upper limit problem, and that when we reach a level of success, sometimes we tend to sabotage ourselves to get back down to a status quo. And so I think when you find that dream, I think it's equally as important to be able to sustain it, and so we don't revert back to, you know, where we were previously, because we knew we were comfortable there. We can't let ourselves pull ourselves back. We also can't let others pull us back to where we were. Do you have, I mean, aside from continuing to do the work every single day, is there anything else that you do personally to make sure that you are continually building up instead of tearing down the work that you've done?
Yeah, great question. I'm going to share with you what I started this year. So once I realized that it takes 63 days to change something. And so I did this year I did a habit list. So there are about five habits that I either want to put away or to create new. And so every day I look at the list, and I have those five habits. There are even more, not all on the list, but those that I do already, they are just in there. They, you know, I don't need a list for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But for new ones, I need a list. And as I know, I have to print a little bit more than two lists, because January, I started January 1st. And from that on, I'm going to do it 63 days.
Yeah.
And every day I made it happen, or I left the habit out, I make a pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I don't do it, I put on a cross, and that will reflect. So I have to really get back into that. And so this really is something that, you know, you keep in track on something.
Right.
If I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't know whether I had yesterday, I did the one habit or I didn't do it. So, but if I do that every evening, making the tick or the cross, I can evaluate and tell my mind again, tomorrow I have to get back in that stronger and not doing it.
Yeah.
Or if it's a habit you want to build, I have to do that. I have to focus more on that. And then you get back into the shape. But on the other side, don't get frustrated once you, you know, this list looks not perfect. It's 14 days now, and yeah, there are a few crosses already.
Yeah.
But every time, you know, go back on track. And I think this is so powerful because the 63 days is nothing compared to 60 years that you still will live, or depend how old you are right now, but you know what I mean. So 63 days to really focusing on something straight for 63 days, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy, especially in the middle. But 63 days compared to 60 years or 50 years or 40 years or 30 years, 20 years, it's nothing.
Right.
And I think this is really powerful because it gives us, for me, it gives so much relief because I know I don't have to carry it my whole life.
Right.
I can change something. I can reprogram my mind within 63 days. It might take longer. 63 days is average to change a habit. But by 63 days, we are at the point where the mind slowly gets to realize, okay, it's not for me anymore. Or if it's a new habit that you want to create, this is great. This is fun. And so I will really try that because I'm so passionate about it. I tried it the first time. And it really helps to focus on the important things that we want to change or reprogram the mind. And it's important to know that it always changes with our thinking.
Yeah.
I think there's no long-lasting success before it gets into our mind and before our talks are created in a way that we want to see it. And so try it out if it's helpful. And I'm excited to hear some good stories from that.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to really highlight the point you made that if you miss a day, it is okay and encouraged to start over the next day. You can forgive yourself for missing a day. And that's part of habit forming is when life happens, when life gets in the way, and you, for me, I can't meditate for a day, the habit is still there. It's not disappeared because I missed a 24-hour period. It is still beneficial for me to sit down for 20 minutes of my day and focus. And that's just knowing that you are in a place where you can continue to build that habit, even if you have if you cross a day out because you missed it, that is encouraged, and it's just part of that growth, the habit formation.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think as you said, it's really important to give yourself permission to fail.
Yes,
the more we fail, the more we go forward.
Yeah,
and so what I realized in that habit formation is that the mind, when you miss a day, the mind is so easily disturbed that it says, okay, I missed a day, it doesn't matter, I'm missing a second day.
Yeah, right.
But that's the most challenging part, because then you have to change the attitude towards, okay, to say, okay, I missed a day, but now I'm going to make a cut, start again. And then you do it on and on again.
Yes.
But the moment you let your mind wander and that's it, like, oh, okay, the first day is missed. It's okay to miss the second one. And then in the second day, you say, oh, it's okay to miss it on the third one. So you're going to go straight back where you come from.
Right.
And so this is the most, probably the big challenge for us to make a cut. I said in the beginning, you have to cut the past and then take responsibility again for the future.
Yeah.
And so that's the way we have the greatest change in life.
Yeah.
And the greatest.
I love it. I love it. And then the fourth step, let's reiterate that real quick. And I know we're coming up on an hour here, but you help people realize what it is they're capable of and what it is that they want. And so just one more time, just redefine the fourth step for me.
Yeah. So the third step is all about creating the dream. And the fourth step is all about helping people along the journey towards the dream with the mentoring that I do. I help people with different, mentoring them with different abilities, even systems that helps best for them, you know, systems in a way of that helps them to create a lifestyle, a joyful lifestyle of growing. And for me, mentoring is such an important aspect because we all need a mentor. We all need someone that has gone before us.
Yes.
And so if we can, exchange with the mentor where we are to where we want to go, and the mentor can help us how we can do it, or why we want to do it, or what we have to do in order to get there. So there are a lot of mentoring opportunities for you to learn about your personality, about who am I, what am I here for, how to create a dream and live out continually, consistently that dream, and to make every day a win for yourself and for others.
That's wonderful. And that leads me into one of my final questions. When you talk about mentors and you talk about helping people live their dreams, I always like to ask if they're happens to be somewhere in the world listening to this and they feel like they resonate with your message, they really love what you hear. You personally, what is it you're looking for that if somebody could lend a resource to you to help you grow, to help you live your dream, what would that be and how would they be able to lend resources to your cause?
I like books a lot. So I'm reading a lot. That where mostly learn, podcast as well. So these are the two most things that I do as well. I have a couple of coaches that I'm in touch and that help me to grow, if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. And actually, it leads me into my final question. You say you love books, and I love hearing that. I love books as well. I try to read a couple hours out of every single day. And so they've had such a profound effect on my life. And I'm always curious to know if there was one book that has changed your life for the better, what would it be and why?
That's always the most difficult question. I would say a really simple book. And power, impactful book is the Think and Grow Rich from Napoleon Hill.
Yeah,
that has given me a fundamental, intentional start in my mind to change things in my mind. And once you get to a point that you realize how you can change your mind, then the growth. It's going to happen really, really crazy. And I love that because it's like a long-term investment. Books as well, books in general.
Yeah.
It's like when you have the mind, when you are open to change it. In the beginning, nothing happens. And then all of a sudden, it goes like a long-term investment. It makes a big curve. up into the sky, and that's what I love. So get a hold of Thinking Cloudish if you haven't read it yet. If you have read it already, I would recommend you The Shack. It's probably the most best book that I ever read.
You said it was the say that, what was that book? The Shack?
The Shack.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, I will put both of those in the show notes, and I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you for coming on here and sharing your story with me. If people want to learn more about you, or if they want to even reach out to you and even work with you, what is the best way for people to get in touch?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can get in touch with me on either of my personal website or business website. The personal website is nathanieltoolbook.com, and the business website is unlimitedyou.co. So both on the website, you can download the free ebook, The First Step to Unlimit Your Life. It's only available for free for a short time. It's probably for the next, I think, 1 month or so.
Okay.
And so get a hold of it. The website will be for sure in the show notes.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yep. Cool. Well, Nathaniel, thank you so incredibly much for doing this with me. I appreciate you. I appreciate, again, you sharing your journey and your positivity. I think a lot of people get lost in the sense that they never have an impetus in their life that says, I need to make a change. And you have fought long and hard to get to where you are. And I appreciate everything that you've done. And I appreciate the fact that you're willing to so openly share it with people to help inspire them and encourage them to make positive decisions in their life, to live their dreams and to pursue that fulfillment. So thank you truly for that.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and for those wonderful last words. So appreciating to be here and for the great opportunity. Thank you so much.
Thank you. One more time, I would like to extend a huge, huge thank you to Nathaniel for joining me on the podcast. If you would like to learn more about Nathaniel and his work, please check out the links in the show notes, and you can find him on Facebook as well. And don't forget, if you would like to support the Mosaic Life podcast, you can do that in a number of ways. The easiest is you can follow me on Instagram at Trey Kaufman. That's where all of the podcast content lives, on social media, as well as on Facebook, if you just search for The Mosaic Life Podcast. You can also leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That goes a long way in helping others just like yourselves discover the content we create here. And last but not least, again, if you find a value in this podcast, you can make a one-time or recurring donation by clicking the Support the Mosaic Life podcast link in the show notes. That enables me to devote more of my time to creating more insightful and interesting content. And last but certainly not least, I would like to thank you, the listener, for spending an hour of your time with me today. I hope you receive value from the content you heard here. Thank you all again so incredibly much. And until next time, take care, do better, and be well.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at